Okay, everybody. Sorry again about the technical issues. That was my fault. I unplugged something.
I was just going through some of the occult things or whatever. Nothing really, you know, nothing new or anything. I don't know if you wanted to get into anything. Go ahead.
What about one of our callers that we still have there? No planes. Do you have anything else you wanted to add while you were on the line? Is he still there? Maybe he's still taking five. The thing is with 9/11, it's just sad that we can't get more people to look into it, because for me, it's like the gateway to truth. I mean, once you learn that they would lie to you about 9/11, then, you know, what won't they lie to you about? You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I think everybody, you know, pretty much that has woken up, you know, since obviously that's been the number one thing. Obviously, people are now starting to come around. You know, that's the thing. I mean, obviously, the only new people now I think we can expect is the ones. I know a lot of people are waking up now. I will say that after the, you know, the marathon thing and the, you know, Sandy Hook and, you know, and a lot of these things just not adding up. And you know, here's the thing. I think more of the so-called left was more interested to look into the conspiracy theories, you know, so-called conspiracy theories when Bush was in office. But now since, you know, Obama's in office, we have more of the so-called right willing to look into conspiracy theories. So, I mean, you know, it's, if you go on YouTube, you'll see, it's weird where you'll see people that believe that, you know, you'll find a very weird mix of people where you'll see, like, some people that believe that, you know, that Sandy Hook and, you know, Boston were staged, but yet that 9/11 was as we were told, you know. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, a lot of people are, you know, they're questioning it. But, you know, I think now we're somewhat moving past the partisanship of, you know, before people are starting to look into this stuff more. But, yeah, 9/11 is definitely the holy grail of, you know, of it all. I mean, you get 9/11, you'll understand the rest of it. That's pretty much, you know, basic, you know, the basic awakening. I mean, like everybody, as soon as I, you know, saw a couple documentaries and started realizing that it wasn't what, you know, I had been told. Not like I said, I was exactly, heavily, I was yeah. really into it, you know.
Yeah, and once you realize it's not what you told, you're so taken back by that. You're like, how could they lie about this, you know?
Right.
James, how big of a deal of it is it still over there on your side of the world? You're on the other side of the world, so you have a little bit of different. Is it you get it over here thrown in your face and you
you're beeping bad, Bri.
Suck me a little closer.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, on the one hand, it's quite far in the past now, and I think a lot of people just don't really want to look at 9/11 because it's so long ago. But on the other hand, you know, because they stopped with these false flag attacks things around like 2006, and then they moved on to sort of school shootings, and I think around about the time of Virginia Tech, I think, was sort of the time they stopped doing, like, the Bali bombings, Madrid, and that sort of thing. They sort of went off in a different direction, but as Justin was saying, there's more people that question the shootings now that don't go back as far as 9/11, and although they might go back as far as Columbine, which was actually before 9/11, because what, you know, once you question one school shooting, you're probably going to start to question all of them.
Well, yeah. I think with everything else, though, I mean, here's the thing is once you start to question these other things, you have to question, you know, only the really, really idiot partisan, you know, Republican or Democrat is not going to, you know, look into, you know what I mean? Like for the most part, if you're willing to look into, you know, false flags, you're going to look into 9/11 as well. You're going to look into, you know, the biggest of them all, you know. But I think that's, you know, and to a point, I think that's what they want. I mean, you know, it's weird how they're leading us into this rebellion. You know, I really do think that they want some type of armed rebellion from the American people so that they can squash it and then, you know, come in with whatever they were planning, you know, type thing. And you know, it makes you wonder, because, I mean, you know, we have so many, you know, so many of these things, you know, why would they leave things out there like that, you know, on purpose? Why would they, you know, be so sloppy on so many of these things, you know?
I think some of it is to divide us, because it makes us go off on different rabbit trails.
No doubt about it. I mean, you know, you have the fakery versus non-fakery credit. And I'm not even talking about 9/11. I'm talking about everything else, too. I mean, you know, but it's just, you know, as far as, like, you know, seeing, like I was talking about earlier with the SSRIs and stuff, you know, you have the ones that just blame it on that. Then, you know, the left blames it on guns. And yet, you know, whatever the story may be, it's all about divide and conquer. And I think that the thing is right now, America is at an unprecedented crossroads. You know, something we haven't been this divided since Vietnam. And I really do think that there is going to be some type of American uprising. And what they want to make sure of is that the people are not going against the powers that be, you know, or the maybe they'll go against the perceived powers that be instead of going after the real bankers and the real, you know, shot callers. You know, they may go after a few lowbrow politicians, but for the most part, we're going to see, you know, I hate to use the word anarchy for it, but, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, blood in the streets with, you know, a race war and religion wars and class wars and, you know, whoever you, and that's even like right now with the government being, you know, shut down. I say shut down, I'm using air quotes over here because, you know, only certain things are, you know, national parks are shut down, but yet the jails are still working, you know, the military industrial complex is still bombing people, you know, weapons and everything else. But, you know, it's just funny how they deem which is necessary and which isn't necessary. But, you know, and this is all, it's neo-feudalism, you know, it's the oldest trick in the book, you know, just like I've said it before too, how they had the indentured servants that were Irish came over in the, you know, in the 1860s, and they were for a while as indentured servants. So what do they do instead of letting them get together with the black slaves? But they turned them into slave catchers, you know.
Yeah.
And then that way you pit the bottom versus the bottom. So now you have all these people on welfare, food stamps, or whatever. And then you have these people working, getting minimum wage, you know, or maybe a little bit more. You know, even lower middle class, and they're thinking that they're getting robbed by the same people getting food stamps, you know, when in reality, it's so much more than that. You know, I mean, obviously, it's, everything's a little piece of the puzzle, but, you know, it's, I don't know, I see where we're heading, and I think it's, you know, it may not be, I don't know, I think it's going to be sooner than later. Not saying it's going to be a FEMA camp thing. I don't see that really happening. I don't think they need to, but it's going to boil over soon. It's been so long, and, you know, things are escalating, and I'm not saying it's going to happen today or tomorrow, but, you know, I don't know. I can't see how much longer this can go, like it is. What do you guys think?
I totally agree. But I'm sure they've been saying this for years, you know.
Oh, of course.
But now with the way the information is and how much easier it is to share, and, you know, hopefully that works in our favor a little bit. As much as it works against people who don't have discernment, for sure, it makes it more complicated for them.
But you got to see, I mean, the amount of people that are, like, so-called waking up. I mean, if you go to Reddit.com, you know, which is a big site for, like, you know, your regular...
Yeah, regular blogs, yeah.
Right, yeah, regular college kids, regular, you know, middle-aged people, whatever, you know, 30, 40 years old, people that, like us, go on the... Well, the day of the D.C. shooting, they had a thread going on there that was already, you know, compiling information about what was going on and calling it a false flag. So, I mean, you know, 5-6 years ago, you wouldn't have seen that, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's a totally different ball game now. I'm not saying that, you know, I think the problem is too little too late with a lot of these people, though, that you know, are just getting into the game right now. I think because it's going to take them a few years before they really have the, you know, understanding of the bigger picture. But, you know, right now it's definitely a, you know, a mass awakening is taking place in one way or another. I mean, maybe not towards 50%, but I would say 25% is now skeptical of things they hear from the government. I could be wrong with that number, but people are looking for answers, you know?
Yep. If anybody that's still, you know, skeptical about what we've been saying tonight about 9/11, or, you know, you're still on that loose change road or whatever, and you've seen so-called witnesses that were firefighters or actors, or, you know, guys like Willie Rodriguez, the supposed hero janitor, who I know I've spoken to several times. I know, Justin, I think you've spoken to him before.
Yep.
Completely full of fraud. Completely full of shit. Use your own eyes, ears, and common sense, guys. I mean, all these impossibilities happen all on one day. I mean, really? Structural possibilities, engineering impossibilities, black boxes disappearing, bodies vaporizing. You know, just all these things just happening in one day, and we're supposed to believe that. Well, all these death certificates missing.
And I mean, here's the thing, too. I mean, just as far as in the 9/11 truth movement goes, it's like, you know, why was it so okay to, you know, it was so okay for everybody to, you know, to question the plane being in Shanksville and the plane not being in, you know, in the Pentagon, but not question the World Trade Center, because the media was trained on.
The World Trade Center's got the most deaths, you know what I mean? That's the big one. That's the one that's going right. to get really everybody fired up and, hey, let's go invade Afghanistan, you know?
Right. No, but I'm saying as far as inside the truth movement, though, is what I'm saying. You know, why was that okay? Why did we not trust the witnesses from the Pentagon right away, but yet we trust everybody from the World Trade Center? And that's... Yeah. To me, it's a red flag. I mean, obviously, you know...
That's because there was all the videos probably of New York, and there was one of the Pentagon, you know what I mean? That probably had a big part to do with it.
Oh, no doubt about it. I'm just, you know, I'm just, you know, thinking out loud. I'm just saying, though, you know...
Oh, you're right, yeah, your thoughts are right. I'm just saying that's probably the reasoning, you know?
Yeah, but I'm saying, though, I would say it's more concerted as far as the people that have... put these ideas out there, but have, you know, but have always said, you know, no way, no planes at the World Trade Center. That's, you know, you're disinfo as soon as you say that, you know?
Yeah.
James, are you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, do you, it seems too late now. Do you think they'll ever try and release a video of that Pentagon crash?
No.
I mean, it's already been...
I think by the 10th year anniversary, I lost all hope of seeing anything like that. Same thing with the supposedly, Brian. I just want to let you know, I googled it earlier. Supposedly, they found the black box, a couple black boxes, but they have not released any information.
Oh, so cool. Hi, Mom. It's me, Mark Bingham. You believe me, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, too, there's four black boxes from two planes. You got the CVR, the FDR. So there's still two unaccounted for, I think.
Yeah.
We've heard conflicting stories about that, but it's funny because the black box actually isn't black, it's orange. But yeah, that's there's no explanation for those being destroyed. And the other thing too is the Flight 93. They said that they lost the last 3 minutes of the cockpit voice recording or whatever, but it's a continuous loop tape, so you know there's no accounting for that either. That story was all great. You know, I think the Pentagon one will be, you know, I know the Building 7 is sort of, you know, lower level stuff, but I tell you what, you know, particularly now, you know, 12 years later or whatever it is, you know, like, it's good to hit people and say, well, you know, the whole thing's done and dusted, Bin Laden's supposedly dead, the whole thing's wrapped up. Why can't they release these videos from the Pentagon, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What does exactly. national security have to do with it? Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, you know, that's the thing. And, you know, a lot of these things that may be rabbit trails and whatnot, you know, they, if you get in some in an argument with somebody that does, you know, obviously within the truth, you know, movement here, yeah, we're going to, you know, talk this stuff. But if you get somebody that totally is in denial about everything, you know, I mean, these are good points to bring up. So, I mean, you know, it's, I don't know. I personally don't poo-poo the whole thing, but I just see where it's, I see where it's going and I see where it came from. You know what I'm saying? So I think that a lot of it, there is good, you know, there's good with the bad. I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, but then again, you know, realize why this stuff was pushed on us, you know, type thing.
Well, but let's face it. I mean, none of us would be here doing this call right now if we hadn't seen Loose Change. You know, that's where it started at all for most people, really.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. Loose Change or In Plain Sight or 9/11.
You have to remember what you can.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. You know, I'll tell you one thing is, you know, it makes me wonder as far as, Dylan Avery, I think he more or less did it to just launch his film career type thing, whereas Burmese was more of a, you know, trying to jump on, you know, he was trying to jump on the bandwagon of this and you know what I mean? And he got brought in with the Alex Joneses. It makes you know, I don't know, the whole thing was obviously, you know, even then, it was you know, just the fact that the truth movement was planned. You know what I mean? That's pretty, you know, that's pretty crazy stuff right there that they would plan this movement, you know?
Yeah. You could say so.
Yeah, did you remember, Justin, when Dylan Avery... I think Dylan Avery was briefly a member of Let's Roll Forums back in, like, 2005. Because I think Phil Jahan might have produced the first Loose Change.
Or had some role in it. Yeah, he had something to do with a couple of those early films. I don't know the exacts.
I know In Plain Sight was one of them.
Right. I don't know the exacts, but I know that he was friends with you know, I've talked to Dylan Avery too. He's actually a pretty nice guy, it seems like. You know, I really don't have much against him. You know, and then the other ones there, Dave and Who's the lady there that
Dave Von Kleist?
That, yes, Dave Von Kleist and his wife there. That was Phil's good friends there too. You know, a lot of these people, you know, were moles in my opinion, to do what they've been doing. With the Power Hour lady, I'll tell you though, she's had Joyce Riley.
Joyce Riley's the one that had Willie Rodriguez on the show when Chris Kendall called in and questioned about the rubble, and they muted him.
Oh yeah, no, definitely, definitely, no. I don't trust her as far as I can throw her. I'm just saying that.
I'm just making the statement. That's who she is. I remember specifically now. Yep.
Well, if you look up, there's a whole thing too, a whole smear thing. And I don't know if it's correct or not, but if you Google Hanoi Jane Riley, Joyce Riley, it brings up a whole bunch of stuff, you know, about her past. You know, I mean, who knows? Anyone can put anything on the internet, obviously, but obviously, you know, dealing with a lot of ex-military, a lot of nefarious characters here. You know, who knows? I try to read up on everybody I can that's a big name. You know.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, why don't we take another break and we'll come back and you know, we'll wrap it up. Maybe we'll touch on a little more. See what happens.
Okay.
Take another quick break. You guys cool with that?
Sure.
It's pretty good. Yeah, we haven't done a show in 2 months, and at one point tonight we had 17 live listeners. So that's pretty high. It's pretty good.
Better alive than dead.
Better alive than dead, and definitely feels good to be back. So, here we go. Classic right here. I know Justin will appreciate it.
Yo,
this.
You know I had to call. You know why, right?
Why?
Because, yo, I never, ever call and ask you to play something, right?
Yeah.
You know what I want to hear, right?
What you want to hear?
I want to hear that Wu-Tang
track. Hey, everybody. Sorry about that little brief delay in between the two songs. Yeah, the stream cut out for a second on us. Winamp's been giving me a little bit of issues lately. A lot of issues lately over the last couple of weeks. At least we were able to launch the show tonight. I'm hoping everybody's still in the call. Justin, James, you guys still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, excellent, excellent.
Yeah, that was my echo.
Oh, yep, I'll take care of it. What else haven't we touched on as far as 9/11? Maybe some of the aftermath of it and what it's caused and how the country reacts to everything and is so sensitive now. I think that maybe should be mentioned a little bit. You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, what we have is, you know, we have a police state and we have people that are not upset about it and people that think that, you know, it's okay to, you know, to, you know what I mean, to live in fear. You know, it's basically the you know, I don't know, if you look at it now, if you don't see kids outside playing, you don't see, you know. It's just insane how you know, between this, the school shootings, between all of these, you know, events and stuff too, and you know, a lot of the other scare tactics, you know, people are scared, you know, to go anywhere nowadays. You know, it's and obviously it's given a big rise to the internet and you know, a big rise to cell phones and everything like that. You know, and it makes you wonder. You know, obviously, the world before, think about it, you know, 2000, I just maybe had a cell phone by then. I think that was when I got my first cell phone, you know, or you know, 2001. But you know, people weren't living on the internet like they are now and connecting through Facebook. You know, people got together more. You know, maybe it's just my age. I'm in my early 30s and, you know, I don't see a lot of people getting together anymore like they used to. But I mean, it's not just people my age, it's, you know, it's older people and stuff and younger people. And I think it's a much more controlled environment. And obviously that's what they were going for.
You know, never mind the early 20s.
Yeah. I mean, I was just going to say, never mind the millions that have been killed also from this, but yeah, continue, James.
Yeah, so I can imagine, because I see your pictures on Facebook, it looked like you sort of went out a lot in your early 20s, but like, even, you know, like people my age, or, you know, so early to mid 20s, a lot of them you know, don't go out so much, but I mean, there's financial reasons for that too, of course, but
true.
You know, we
9/11 facilitated that as well, continue, you know.
Yeah, for sure, and I think we were talking the other day too about, yeah, just people don't know their neighbors, and you know, like, I couldn't even tell you any of my neighbors' names, to be, or maybe one or two of them. But, and I live on like a driveway with seven or eight houses, you know, like, you know, people just don't know their neighbors anymore. There's no community sort of spirit. I know a lot of the time when I'm walking down the street, like even in a good neighborhood, you know, like you walk past a girl or whatever, and you'll be lucky if you get a smile. She's probably just hoping, you know, she doesn't. You don't molest her or something, you know?
Oh, totally. Totally. You know, that's the thing about it. Because, you know, here's the thing with me. Like, I know all my neighbors. You know, I know, like, probably, you know, I'd say I know, like, the closest five or six houses to me. I know, you know, pretty much know everybody. Get along with them all pretty well. But, you know, like you're saying, though, if I'm walking around, you know, I mean, I'm a pretty big guy. I'm, you know, I have a beard and stuff, and I have long hair. You know, people look at me like I'm going to snatch their kid up or something, you know, like that, or, you know, or like I'm going to, you know, grown men look at me, you know, and just be, you know, just, I don't know. I'm not trying to, you know, but it's just, people are so scared of the unknown nowadays, you know, and they see people and they're just, you know, they're nervous over the littlest things. I mean, it's just, you know, think about as far as like, you know, it makes you wonder too. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know a lot of kids get taken and a lot of them get, you know, taken for nefarious things, but you even have to wonder how much of that, you know, how many of these things that we hear, these ambulers, are they all legit? You know what I mean? Or are they just doing it to scare parents? I think a lot of them are custody battle ones too, you know, which isn't, to me, isn't as serious as a real, you know, legit, you know, kidnapping or whatever. But, you know, I think we have to look at all aspects of life. And, you know, they want us nervous to go anywhere, whether it's the movie theater, the shopping mall, or, you know, anywhere, everywhere nowadays, there's some event that has happened that has made you wary, you know, to go there or to send your kids there. And that's, you know, and there again, you know, all the conspiracy theorists have talked for years about the microchip. And I've said it before, but I'll just say it again, why there's no need for it yet. Because everybody right now is walking around with a microchip on. Everybody, you know, has a cell phone.
Yeah,
you know?
Man. So it's crazy how much it tracks you. Some people don't even realize, even with the GPS off and location off, when you run certain apps, when you install them, you don't read the fine print. You hit accept. A lot of those are making you store your location, too. So in those apps don't automatically shut off with your phone. You have to manually do it. So you're being tracked all the time. Never mind whatever's hidden in there that we probably don't know
right.
about, you know?
Right. You know, here's another thing that people don't realize, but I know there's bounty hunters have them. Obviously, police have them, too. They're a thing that they're called pings, you know, and what they can do is they look for a signal from your phone. Say you're, you know, bounty hunters use them all the time for someone that's, you know, wanted on bail or whatever. They'll come into an area where they think you are and they'll set the thing up. And if you make a call or receive a call, that will send a ping to them, and that will give them pretty much the general location of where you are. And that's not even high-tech stuff. That's not NSA or anything like that. That's your average bail bondsman, your, you know, Dog the Bounty Hunter type guy has that type of technology, and it's fully legal, you know. So, I mean, you know, people don't realize just how much, you know, these electronics do enslave us. And obviously, the more they go, I mean, talking about, like, now with the – I think it's the iPod 6 or 5S or whatever it is, the one that's got the fingerprint thing in it now. It's just, to me, anybody that's at all skeptical about any of this stuff that goes and gets one of those phones, just, you know, either thinks shit is sweeter than it is, or just, I don't know. To me, I can't see the need for that. Why? So you don't have to remember a password, you know, if you lock your phone or whatever, which, you know, I don't know. It's insane.
Well, I mean, it's crazy, you know, like, because remembering things is good for your brain, you know, you're supposed to do that. But, you right. know, on the other side, like, can you imagine, you know, someone like us, we inadvertently give our prints to the government, all of a sudden they turn up at a burglary somewhere or something, and, you know, what are we going to say?
Yeah. DNA as well, you know, I mean... one of my good friends was asked, I mean, you know, he's got somewhat of a criminal history. I mean, you know, long behind him, but there was a string of burglaries that happened. The cops pulled him over and pretty much said, hey, you know, give us your DNA or else we're going to think you're a suspect. You know, and he was, I mean, obviously, you know, people that know that, you know, he knows his rights as far as that goes, but he was just, you know, more or less just doing it because, you know, he had nothing to hide. But in general, now they have his DNA. Who's to say they won't plant it at a, you know, a burglary scene or whatever, you know? And that's the thing. And obviously,
yeah,
it's
well,
already on
well,
record.
Juries don't really. I mean, if a prosecutor says to a juror his DNA is found there, that they just take it as legit, you know?
Oh, of course. Of course.
Crazy. But, you know, back to the other topic, I always thought. You know, like, I've always grown up in, like, good, you know, nice neighborhoods, but I always got the impression that, like, the bad neighborhoods were actually the ones where the kids probably would be out, like, playing at the basketball courts or whatever, and, like, the rich neighborhoods usually the ones where you don't see kids out. Like, it's like an opposite.
That's it. That's how it is nowadays, where it's like, you know, that's the only place that I ever see kids out playing is in the hood, you know, or in, a you know, some of the neighborhoods that are lower middle class. But as far as, like, you know, you go through the ritzy neighborhoods or whatever, they're sitting in the air conditioned house playing video games and you know, playing on the internet together, or, you know, whatever kids do nowadays, instead of, you know, sitting outside and playing home run derby or, you know, whatever type stuff that we used to do when we were that age, or ride bikes. You don't even, that's the thing, another thing too, you don't see people even riding bikes anymore. You know, that was huge in my day in the 90s. I mean, you know, everybody had a mountain bike or a BMX bike, and we would all ride around town, or, you know, I remember riding to the next city. I mean, you know, we did it all the time. But I don't know. I barely ever see anybody on a bike unless they're an actual cyclist out and trying to get exercise with the helmet and the whole, you know, uniform on with their neon tight pants and everything or what, you know, whatnot. But no, you don't see someone out there just riding a bike really to get somewhere unless they're dirt poor, you know, and they're riding it to work or. Continue, James.
Yeah, or even like a scooter or a skateboard, you don't see them outside the skate parks. It's like just riding around the street. Right. I don't see them as much as I used to.
No.
And that goes with sports as well too. I mean, think about it. You don't see kids playing sports unless it's an organized league or they're in a batting cage or something like that. You know, you don't just go to a park and see 12 kids playing, you know, 6-on-6 baseball. Or, I mean, when, you know, back when I was that age, you know, every park you went to on a weekend, I mean, you know, on a summer night, there was at least a 5-on-5 full court going on.
Yeah, every basketball court was packed.
Right, with you know, 5 more guys got next and another 3 guys waiting to try to get in that role. You know, it was huge back then. You know, I can't think of it. And nowadays, you know, I'll go, you know, just because I take walks, especially in the summertime, you know, and I'll go to where, you know, places like that. And you'll see 2 kids shooting hoops. You know, that's it. You don't see the big games like, you know, we had every single day after school. You could just go to different parks and you'd find people playing every single day.
Yep. All the time. Before we get too late here, before a few people start dropping off, I do want to mention we have a new Facebook group. I know that most people that are in here most likely know that. About a week ago, our Facebook group, which, you know, not to, you know, sound too modest or anything, but I think it's one of the better Facebook groups out there. Like, we have a good amount of, you know, pretty good researchers with some good discernment. Not too many people. You know, the post seemed to be pretty good in our group the whole time. About a week ago, we got shut down and nobody could really post. 2 or 3 people were able to post here and there, and then that was it. So we started a new group. The old one was called The Real News Online. The new one is called TheRealNewsOnline.com, just to keep it simple. I got 164 members in there now out of about 220-something. So we got almost everybody. If you can think of anybody that I didn't add yet, feel free to add them. And right now I'm going to drop the link in the chat for the new group. And if all you guys are on Facebook, click that link right there. And that's our Facebook group. That's our new chat. That's our new group where we discuss all this stuff, you know. And it's a closed group, so your people that aren't into this type of stuff, you don't have to worry. They're not going to see this stuff pop up in their news feed. We're in there to discuss it, hash it out, figure it out. You know what I mean? That was some bullshit, though, how they did that to us.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about
it. They never even got back to me on support. And isn't it funny that my group's the only one, you know? I should say our group. Our group's the only one that gets like that on Facebook. The only one. I tried in many groups.
I've seen it happen over the years, but obviously, you know, it was an act of, you know, it was definitely an act of censorship. It doesn't happen often, you know. Obviously, that was a way of, you know, of splitting everybody up and, you know, seeing if, you know, maybe they do it as like a test to see if you're, you know.
Oh, yeah, see how strong our will is. See how strong my will is. See if I'm going to stick with it, you know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but I'm, know, a that, sim. I'm a sim. My will is unbreakable. I've been programmed to not stop.
Yeah. Johnny Five over there.
Johnny Five is alive, baby. You know what I mean?
So how much obesity do you think you could tie into the video game generation?
I'd say a good amount. I'd say a lot more obesity you could tie into it than you could violence. I think that's a little overblown.
Oh, it's way overblown.
I do too. I think for the most part, what were you saying? You're probably going to say the same thing I was. Continue, James. What were you saying?
Just saying that most of the people that I knew that played like Grand Theft Auto were actually nerds. Like,
That's exactly what I was thinking too. You're right.
They know you can't really get out and hit a hooker with a baseball bat and take off and have five guys chasing you, five cops.
Right. I mean, it's nothing to it. The only thing is, obviously, I mean, I think if you have someone that's mentally deranged or whatever, I mean, yeah, of course, you also don't want to hand that person, anything, anything. You probably don't want to give him a violent movie to watch either if he's already sick in the head or something. But as far as, regular people, there shouldn't be, any issues with you playing a video game and don't get me wrong, one thing I do think, though, is as far as video games go, they're the biggest recruiting tool for the military.
The Clancy games and shit.
Black Ops as well, those are huge.
Yeah, those are those types of games. That's what I'm referring to, shooting
right.
shit like that.
Yeah,
I know Black Ops isn't a Clancy game, but Clancy started with Rainbow Six and Ghost Recon and everything before Call of Duty.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
The key with that, too, I always talk about this, too, is that the war video games, your Counter-Strikes, your Medal of Honors, your Call of Duties, your Battlefields, those games are never restricted.
Yeah, that's true.
They're always MA-15+.
You mean the rating on them?
Yeah, they're always like MA-15+ or whatever, so kids can buy them. But the only ones that are rated are like the street gang type games. But the war games are always rated so that like preteen kids can get them and play them.
Oh, interesting. I didn't even know that.
Well, if you look at it, I mean, like, I think a game like Battlefield or Medal of Honor is a lot more damaging than a game like Grand Theft Auto,
Right, because it's more realistic as far as the fact of, you're not going to be able to be Tony Montana or someone like that in real life, and most people know that people. And here's the thing, even if you end up trying to be, by the time you get pinched for, coke a couple times, you're going to realize it ain't the life for you. As far as, going to the military, it's a lot more realistic. Yeah, you will get in, you will get a gun, you will be able to get to shoot at people. It's definitely, something that I would consider, to be more of a, tool to get people to, like you said, something more of a recruiting tool than Grand Theft Auto. Everyone knows that's insane, but everyone wants to play Call of Duty and, just like the older ones there where you fought World War II. I love playing those games even too, even knowing that a lot of the propaganda we've seen from there. And I mean, nowadays, as good as they are, it's like real. It's realistic to where someone thinks they're good at that game. Well, hey, they're going to be more interested to, possibly go to the military. Nowadays, shit, they even let nerds in too with all the drone stuff and everything else. You don't even need to fly a plane or shoot a gun. Now there's mechanized everything.
Well, yeah, because I was always working out when I was a teen, and even those physical tests, like, they're not really that tough. I mean, most people could get through it with a bit of training, particularly, like, a lot of it's body weight stuff, and, like, if you're skinny or whatever, some of those physical
I mean, in the military?
Yeah, like, even a lot of nerds I know could pass those tests.
Oh, yeah, the only one I would say, just talking to my, friends of mine, you really have the will, like, out of the regular services of the Marines, but most people aren't going to go to the Marines unless they're ready for that type of thing. But, as far as, like, Army and stuff like that, don't get me wrong, I'm sure it's tough, but I've been to wrestling practice, and from what I've heard from other dudes I know that I wrestled with and were in the Army. It's just as, it's just as tough. You know what I mean? Continue.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the sheer number of people in the military. I mean, any semi-elite or even just regular sports person is probably going to be as fit as those guys. I mean, I know some real slugs that are in the Army, to be honest. Like, once they pass the first test, I know a lot of guys that are the best shape that they were in. You know how I've heard over there they go into high schools with the Marines and do seminars and stuff. Like, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that in a lot of other countries.
Yeah, and you shouldn't be either. I mean, but that's the thing here was, was if you weren't, you know, college material, then that was, you know, especially nowadays with the economy being so bad, you know, if you're someone that either doesn't have the money for college or you know, really doesn't have their ideas planned for them as for what they want to do, as far as, you know, whether they want to go for a trade or go to college or whatever they want to do, you know, they're going to go to the Army for a couple of years and earn the money and you know, so I mean, right now, that's why they don't need a draft, because you have so many people economically that, you know, it obviously benefits coming out of school 18 years old. If you just have a high school diploma, you can't, you know, you're not going to work anywhere for more than, you know, $9-$10 an hour. So, and of course, unless, you know, unless someone in your family owns a business or something like that, but, you know, as far as the regular kid goes, so, you know, that's the thing about this. It's all linked together, the economy, you know, to the war industry and everything else. It's you know, it's just a big picture.
Do people that are in the military for a period, do they get like looked after in retirement, like a pension or something like that?
Yeah, they get something.
Yes, I mean,
they get their education paid for. I know that.
Right. They get their education paid for. Most of the time, they do get help for a while. But as far as like, you know, what's weird now is like the guy that I work with sometimes, he's a Vietnam vet and he's, you know, was actually wounded and whatever. And he's having trouble getting benefit. You know, he actually had cancer, which was bladder cancer, most likely caused by Agent Orange. And he's trying to get more disability. But they're, you know, they're holding it back right now. And it's a big game that they actually play with the veterans too. So, I mean, it's fucked up in a situation where one, they buy all these lies and they go and fight these wars. When they come home, you know, for one, all the ones I know that came back from like Iraq, Afghanistan and whatnot, almost every one of them is hooked on some type of, you know, they're taking some type of antidepressant. And then, you know, they're also taking anxiety pills and they're taking Seroquel to go to sleep or, you know, Adderall to, you know what I mean? It's insane how much medicine they have these kids on when they get out of there, you know? And like I said, the older guys are, you know, the VA is one screwed up process and that's, they kind of make it hard for them, you know, but the whole thing, I mean, you know, just getting back to the point though of, you know, no, they really don't take care of you after you go and you know, give your best years for them. They don't give a shit, you know, and that's what I wish more people would realize. You know, the elite don't care about you. You're just, you know, they care about you when you got to go and be a bullet catcher. But once your time is done, that's it.
A lot of people think about Agent Orange and they think about the people over in Vietnam that were affected, but they don't realize that a lot of your own servicemen were affected.
Oh, totally. Think about this, man. If you're, you know, if you're out there in the same, you know, in the same weeds and the same, you know, default land, you know, and I'm sure back then, you know, or even nowadays, you know, if you got to fill up a canteen or whatever the case may be, or, you know, even if you're putting a tablet in, you know, they didn't tell them. They didn't tell them that there might be a problem with this stuff. And, you know, and just like the wars nowadays where they have, there's a lot of them still, they get these things, these burning pits, and they have all types of nasty stuff in them. You know, it's human shit. It's whatever, you know, whatever gets used at the camp, that's what they do. They have somebody go and burn it all. Well, that toxic stuff, probably even, you know, used ammunition, whatever they want to get rid of, goes in a pit, gets burned up, and not only do the military personnel end up getting respiratory sickness from it, you know, burning tires and things like that, and what, you know, the indigenous people around it do too. So I mean,
and we're, you know, the ones calling people out for chemical warfare.
Oh, of course. You know, yeah, well, I mean, that's just the biggest hypocrisy of the United States government is that, you know, during Operation Cast Lead, which was a few years back when Israel launched an offensive on Gaza, they actually, you know, admitted to using white phosphorus on civilians. And white phosphorus is something where it's not like napalm where it's a jelly, but it's something where once it starts burning, it's not, very, very impossible to go out. And the only reason that supposedly why militaries even use it anymore is for flares and stuff, but that's not really the case because it's something that, you know, burns for a long time. So they would drop a flare or whatever. But there's actually, it's against the Geneva Convention to use it. America uses it. Israel uses it. Well, Israel admitted to using it against, you know, civilians in Operation Cast Lead. So, I mean, you know, there's the hypocrisy right there, you know, within a couple of years here. And yet, of course, you know, you can't judge Israel for something like that. Just like, you know, USA and Israel and Britain and, you know, these other countries can do what they, the Western countries can do what they want. But as soon as somebody that doesn't have a, you know, Rothschild central bank, you know, we know the drill, but it's just frustrating because people don't see it. I think it's just the thing that really bothers me. You know, I don't expect them to see a lot of this stuff, but when I explain to them that just like all wars are banker wars and, you know, kind of give them a little bit and they agree with me on that. And it's just, you know, then they don't, you know, then I ask them, well, why do you think that, you know, you don't think that they would lie to get another war? Well, yeah, they would lie, but they wouldn't, you know, intentionally, you know, mislead us on something like that. You know what I mean? It's just a hypocrisy across the board. It's just people just trusting in these people because, you know, like anything else, they see the, you know, they respect the authority. That's pretty much, I think, the main thing about it. You know, you will respect my authority.
Well, Mike from the group actually posted a while ago a thing that was like nine separate individual occasions over the last 20 years where the U.S. or her allies have admitted, you know, used chemical weapons.
Right.
You know, that, yeah, I saw that. We know of.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's just that we know of. I think seven if you discount the Hiroshima or Nagasaki. Yeah.
And you got, all these idiots.
That might not have actually occurred. But.
Right.
Yeah, you got all these idiots that back us going into attacking countries that we suspect may have chemical weapons. And it's like, yo, we're the ones using them on everything. And I, like I said, I don't even watch TV anymore, but, like, you know, I'm at the gym all day. So, like, when I'm doing cardio, I sit right in front of the Fox News thing and try to catch up on the propaganda while I'm doing my cardio. I get a kick out of it, you know what I mean? And the stuff they put up there is just so absolutely over the top, man. I watched that Olympus Has Fallen movie the other night. Total anti-Korean propaganda. It was, like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah,
boy, no, that North Korea thing died down pretty quickly, didn't it?
Yeah,
you know, I think that was kind of a proxy. I think that they're kind of putting that away in their pocket for later. And I think Iran kind of got the same treatment a few years back. And it makes you wonder if they're not, if it's not almost just like distractions, like, you know, because if you think about it, why have we been so quick to bomb, you know, Syria, Libya and all of them? But yet we've heard the same saber rattling going on with Iran and North Korea for years. You know what I mean? Venezuela, too. And Cuba to some extent, but you know what I mean. Think about it. We had so many years, 50 years, where we disliked Cuba, didn't attack them, but all of a sudden, you know, 6 months after, you know, we start hearing about a, you know, we know it's false, but the stuff about Gaddafi, the propaganda, all of a sudden, you know, we're in there, Syria too, and you know what I mean. I don't know. I wonder with Iran. I think that they're holding that off, whether real or not, whether they're both sides or not. So I tend to believe that's the case with most countries, but whether both are in it or not, that's going to be the one that does start the World War III if they are going to go that route. And I still think that they're, you know, maybe trying to figure it out if they have to and when they have to. And, you know, this may be 10 years from now, who knows, you know. And that's the thing with all the martial law stuff and everything, you know, I mean, I get all these people post on my wall or send me something and be like, oh, look at this, you know, martial law coming, you know, and it's really, it doesn't matter, because the way I look at it, we're pretty much under martial law as it is, you know, and there's some truth to that. As far as some people say, we've been in a state of emergency since 9/11. Other people say, when the NDAA was signed, that was pretty much an extension of martial law. And I, you know, I mean, just going back into history, you know, you go back to the Reconstruction Acts, the 14th Amendment, and all that. But you recommend a book called The Red Amendment by L.B. Bork on the subject, and you know, it just gets into, you know, how illegitimate, you know, the government is, and what are these little things, like, you know, like I was just saying about martial law and states of emergency, and, you know, we're actually not even a part of this so-called aristocrats and slave owners, and you know, for their own gain. It wasn't written for the rest of us. So I mean, you know, everything, you know, even this, that's more stuff though that I get on the Jones type guys for pushing Constitution this, Constitution that, but yet they don't, you know, they don't expose a lot of this stuff that we know to be true about, you know, corporations and corporate entities, and, you know, it is what it is. But
yeah. Well, listen, before we got too far away from 9/11, just to make a final point to some people before they start to drop off here, I just wanted to play the Mark Walsh interview just to show people how uncredible witnesses in New York could be, and people need to believe their own eyes and ears, and just, you know, look at study the crash footage, guys. You know,
who's that Harley guy?
Yeah, the Harley guy. I'm gonna play the Harley guy interview, and this is the type of interview that we heard within an hour of the tower. You know what I mean? Like within, before any experts had said anything, before any building had ever collapsed in the history of the world from a fire like that, we got this bum off the street telling us the official government story. And anybody that believes this, I mean, I don't know, man. I feel bad for you. But I'm going to play this clip real quick. And this is the type of shit that people believe. This is the type of interview you should throw at people when you're trying to convince them that, hey, maybe you will listen to some liars, because this guy is obviously a diabolical liar. I'm gonna play this interview real quick. This is a good one. This is absolute classic.
We want to bring in Mark Walsh, who's a freelancer for Fox. You live just a few blocks away and witnessed.
Dude, I live on the 43rd floor of a building, which is five blocks from the World Trade Center itself. I witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end.
People talk about how it looked like a movie. I know when I came walking down here early this morning and saw both towers on fire and people on every street corner, it was like a movie, but you watched the planes hit the towers.
I was watching with my roommate. It was approximately several minutes after the first plane had hit. I saw this plane come out of nowhere and just scream right into the side of the Twin Tower, exploding through the other side. And then I witnessed both towers collapse, one first and then the second, mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
Obviously, there were a lot of people inside the buildings at the time.
From the 7th Precinct, the 1st Precinct, the fire department right here, the 7th truck, those guys are all right there at Ground Zero when those things went down. And God bless, I know there's a lot of guys there that were around there, and hopefully they made it out.
What was happening around you and the streets around you as this was all going down?
Absolute pandemonium. From my viewpoint up 43 floors, I could see people running like ants, just absolutely scurrying for their lives. Billows of smoke coming through the streets, just walking down the street, just pushing everybody back. And then several minutes after, it looked like it had just snowed over the entire area.
Yeah, the debris, the soot was thick on the street. There's still a dusting of it out here. But when I was standing here and the towers collapsed, we saw police officers running for their lives, screaming, "Get back, get back, get back." And I'll tell you, that's a wake-up call when you see cops running for their lives. And people, too, women's pushing baby carriages, that sort of thing.
Well, you had the first tower first. That one, when that first went down, it just pushed everybody back. And it was a good 15 minutes before the second tower finally collapsed. Yeah. And it was just overwhelming. And by that point, it was just insane.
Well, I'm hearing a lot of similar stories from people who were inside the building. One gentleman we spoke to earlier today, John, was on the 77th floor and said it was a relatively orderly evacuation at that point after the first plane hit the first tower. Everyone going down the stairs, not a lot of panic. But when they got to the 6th floor, he says they felt a second shake. And then people started to really be concerned. Obviously, there were people in the building at the time of this, and some of those people, they haven't recovered them yet, and that's a big issue right now, is trying to get the rescue workers and the emergency crews to the building. There were police officers there and emergency crews there when this was all happening, and they were right at Ground Zero when it all went down. So can we talk to you? What's your role out here right now?
I'm just standing by right now. Can't say what role I'm playing right now.
Well,
I can't say what role I'm playing.
A lot of standing by. There's also concern that some of these other buildings might actually
come down. There's a whole lot of standing by.
This building right here with the glass that you see, this the nearest tall building, that has structural damage as well. We saw a lot of glass broken out, and a corner of the building appeared to be in distress. And there's concern that there might actually be another collapse of that building.
Unbelievable. Talk about a staged interview, huh? Comments, guys?
I love how he spits out. You got the echo on. But I love how he spits out real quick, though. Then I watched the building collapse. The first tower and the second tower, then I watched the building collapse basically due to structural failure. You know, just the way he says it, it's just hilarious.
Mostly due to structural failure because the heat was just so intense. It's like, that's never happened in the history of the world. Why would you ever say that? You know what I mean?
Right. Wouldn't you want to think more of, you know, like, hey, you know, here's my thing, you know, if I'm really looking into this, if I'm really the, you know, the FBI and, you know, the CIA, the, you know, NYPD, you know, et cetera, you know, whatever agencies are looking into it, I'm going to want to look and see, you know, hey, was a truck bomb used in the bottom floor, you know, something like that? Was it, you know, before I go and just say, hey, you know, they just collapsed from the planes hitting them, but, you know what I mean? Obviously, the place had already been supposedly truck bombed. You know what I mean? Aren't you going to think, well, if it was this well coordinated? You know, just saying in our heads that the FBI didn't know.
This guy ended up working for Fox.
Is that 100% true, though, or is that just...
That's what I heard everywhere, freelancer for Fox. I know we heard he was that other guy, that Mark Humphrey's guy, and that turned out not to be true.
Right.
But I think he is a freelancer for Fox. The other guy isn't the guy that's the freelancer. The other guy's an actor. So guy is the freelancer, if one of them is.
Fair enough.
Unless you wanted to add a little more to that, I was gonna just to show some of these people how fake some of these people in the truth movement are. I was gonna play that first call from the late night in the Midlands that I made to Judy Wood when I just asked her a simple question, and she just totally dodged around it.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
All right, cool. I'm gonna play that right now.
I'm going to take a caller and then nine.
Hold on. Let me just turn the little option back on here. And guys, listen to this, and listen to how dishonest she sounds. And after they cut me off, stick with it. The buzzing will go away, and I actually do get back on the air. They cut me off, but they put me back on after they take another caller.
I'm going to take a caller in the 978 area code. What's your first name? You're live on the Pete Santilli Show with Dr. Judy Wood.
Hi, Judy. How are you doing?
Oh, this is my second call to her. Sorry. Look, this is good. This is good stuff.
It's Dr. Hello. Judy Wood. There you go. And what's your first name, sir?
My name is Brian Stanley. I run a website called The Real News Online.
Hey, Brian. Brian, what question do you have for Dr. Judy? We're going to be short for time here, going to a break. But what's your question
Try to keep it brief. Then I agree with Judy on certain aspects of 9/11, like maybe you know, airplane crashes being fake and things like that. But as far as her, you know, her theory on how the towers were taken down, what is her biggest? You know, what would you say, Judy, is your biggest slam dunk piece of evidence to prove that the towers were destructed in that way and rather not, you know, and I know with the whole Dustify thing and, you know, it's missing all the contents and stuff, but, you know, what if those contents just simply weren't there and those buildings were demoed and there was no high-tech weapon? What is your slam dunk thing that makes you believe that it was a DEW weapon used that day? Because I just don't see it anywhere.
I don't deal with beliefs. I don't deal with theories. I deal with evidence. So if you're not aware of that, maybe you haven't looked at my work or looked at my book.
We're going to go to a break. Hold that thought, okay? When we come back from the break, we will finish the answer to that question.
They muted me there, by the way. When she said, obviously you haven't studied my work, actually I watched about 36 hours of her presentation. But listen to this. This is good. They're going to come back, take another caller. Then they're going to talk shit about me for about 5 minutes, and then they're going to put me back on the air and mute me again. It's pretty classic stuff.
Break, obviously. But by the way, the next mark, I don't know. Actually, your time should be pretty good on your computer. The next break will come up, by the way, at the 39-minute mark. Okay, Dr. Judy?
Okay.
Okay, just wanted to let you know. So, yeah, the first one is at the 18-minute mark.
I should have read my the thing on my desktop.
That's okay. No, that's quite all right. That's quite all right. This will happen. Actually, sometimes I'll train wreck it. And thank you very much, Daniel, for giving me the quick cue, because I would have slammed it. Okay, and we are also, during the breaks, as you know, we're on the back stream. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get in the queue, we have a bunch of callers. So if you want to get in, call 218-339-8525. All right, and then Dr. Judy... I want to come out of the break. I do want to mention something to all of our listeners who understand the importance of, and I believe that it's important and I always call you Dr. Judy Wood, do I not? Even in our personal communication.
Oh, yes.
Always. I make it a point because, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the quote unquote PSYOP. Okay. The PSYOP, one of the techniques for decredentializing, basically taking her from her lapel, all of her credentials, all the work she's done her entire life. It's a method by which you can psychologically strip Dr. Judy Wood's credentials in everyone's
her
mind
lapel.
By just calling her Judy. Okay, so we as an awakened group of individuals, we battle that by calling her Dr. Judy Wood to establish credibility for the evidence that she has brought forward to the public. And she's very, very credentialized, correct, Dr. Judy?
Yes, and it's not just having the degrees, it's having the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what have you produced?
Mm-hmm. And
after all, you know, how long has it been, and no one was saying that the buildings turned to dust until I've been pushing it for how many years?
That's right.
I mean, it's right in your face.
That's right. And now I've recognized this when you shared it with me, and I've noticed the subtleties. But the subtleties are the most important part of the PSYOP, I believe, that exist out there. But those little subtle remarks like that, if everyone, and they're all told, I think they're given bullet points, talking points as to what to do, to refer to you to, you know, Judy only, because it strips you of your status in the 9/11 investigation.
Makes me the same as a small child. I was taught that referring to somebody by their first name without their permission is like what you do with small children.
That's right. That's right. And Susanna Cole.
Yes.
How are you?
They're going to put me back on, too.
Good, good. Did you know you were unmuted?
I am now.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to let you know.
No, nobody ever knows you, scumbag.
Yeah, I am muted during the break. Is that okay?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me? I just wanted to make sure you knew. Are you during the break? Of course you're going to unmute.
Sure.
Yes.
I have something to say.
All right, go.
Yeah.
Say it.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. All right.
I'm listening right now.
What I was going to say is this comment. It seems like nowadays, you know, an opinion and a like button makes someone think that they're an expert.
Yes.
That's right.
They don't have to have any understanding, any background in any particular area. They just, mm-hmm. you know, have to have an opinion.
Right.
And
25 seconds.
Referring to me as Judy puts me on the same level as somebody with just an opinion and a like button or dislike button.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
Yeah, we have 10 seconds here, and I'm going to bring Brian back up here, and we'll continue, but I do want to mention the credentialization.
Yes.
Here we go.
Be sure to tune in to Green Wave Radio every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central on American Freedom Radio. Hard-hitting and in-your-face America.
This is Mr. E, and you're listening to the Pete Santilli Show. Telling you the truth. Telling you the truth. Whether you like it or not.
Okay, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. And let's see. All right. If you are... if you are interested in calling in, 218-339-8525, everyone that was on hold was just cleared from the screen somehow, some way, miraculously cleared from the screen. And I know who you are because I know who you are, but that's okay. 218-339-8525. If you can call back in, we will open the lines back up for you. But this is very important that I mention to all the callers that are going to be calling in. If you would, please understand the following, what I'm about to share with you. I learned this early on. that in the, let's say, the chat rooms on the internet and all the discussion rooms in AE 911 Truth, we call them the opposition, those that are essentially attempting to cover up the evidence from 9/11, especially what is contained in the book, Where Did the Towers Go? One technique, one of the talking points for everyone that they've been given, it's a technique as part of the PSYOP called credentialism. Credentialism is to, let's say, refer to a gentleman named Stephen Jones as Dr. Stephen Jones, or Stephen Jones PhD, or whatever his status is. I don't quite know, and I don't focus too heavily on that. But by stripping Dr. Judy Wood of her title, her appropriate title, it indicates what her expertise is. Obviously, she's got a background. But when they strip the name Dr. Judy Wood and they call her Judy, it's a means of creating an impression psychologically in everyone's mind that she's less qualified to be discussing 9/11 evidence and truth. Isn't that the case, Dr. Judy?
Oh, very much. And it says he puts me on the same level as, a 10-year-old.
If you heard that, you had referred to her. Now, obviously, we as a community of individuals that understand what the PSYOP is that has been perpetrated upon us,
so we
come together and say, you know what, we're going to refer to
science.
Dr. Judy Wood as Dr. Judy Wood.
If you
but, let's go back to your question. Dr. Brian, are you there?
I would advise you to either get a guy named Joseph Farrell.
Yeah, I'm going to give Dr. Judy the opportunity to answer your question. There you go,
Joseph
Dr. Judy.
Can write like a book a month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got references,
you
and it's
about
real
theory,
science.
And
he's an Oxford.
If by theory you mean speculation, there's...
Credentialism. Credentialism is to, let's say, refer to a gentleman named Stephen Jones as Dr. Stephen Jones, or Stephen Jones PhD, or whatever his status is. I don't quite know, and I don't focus too heavily on that. But by stripping Dr. Judy Wood of her title, her appropriate title, it indicates what her expertise is. Obviously, she's got a background. But when they strip the name Dr. Judy Wood and they call her Judy, it's a means of creating an impression psychologically in everyone's mind that she's less qualified to be discussing 9/11 evidence and truth. Isn't that the case, Dr. Judy?
Oh, very much. And it says he puts me on the same level as a 10-year-old with an opinion.
That's right. We have all our callers back. I want to bring Brian back. Unfortunately, there was an error there. And Brian, I don't know if you heard that. You had referred to her. Now, obviously, we as a community of individuals that understand what the PSYOP is that has been perpetrated upon us, we come together and say, you know what, we're going to refer to Dr. Judy Wood as Dr. Judy Wood. But let's go back to your question. Dr. Brian, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm gonna give Dr. Judy Wood the opportunity to answer your question. There you go, Dr. Judy.
I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks. You mentioned about a theory, and if by theory you mean speculation, there's no speculation in my work. I build a case on evidence, like a detective solving a crime. What I present is conclusive evidence, and being conclusive evidence, it puts an end to all of the debating by reason of irrefutability.
Does that answer your question, Brian?
Sort of. You would know. I'm not saying anybody knows the complete truth of 9/11. I sure don't. I'd love to. But
you don't know that.
Say that your work has...
Oh, sorry about that. Go ahead and finish that.
You can't say that unless you know that. You know, what's your evidence on that? If you haven't read my book, you don't know what happened.
That's right. It's important to do that. Now, also, another thing that we're going to discuss is going to be very important to communicate this, Dr. Judy, because we talk about the so-called PSYOP, and a lot of people are not familiar with the term PSYOP. But there are subtleties, such as decredentializing. There's also subtleties in the way that we take the information about 9/11, and we use certain terms because people will see a building, quote-unquote, coming down. We'll say that. We'll use that term. But by calling it a collapse, it creates a certain impression in your mind. If you're referring to what you've observed...
Guys, absolutely ridiculous, huh?
Yep.
Absolutely ridiculous. And then the guy goes and posts my home address and cell phone number and my apartment number and tells people to go and get me. Like, what kind of radio host does that? You know what I mean? And yeah, I think that should just go to show how much of a fraud she is. I mean, you can't even ask her a question. She'll just beat around the bush. I'll play the other call in a little bit because it's short, and it shows her really beating around the bush. But this one just showed her attacking me. I mean, to say that only 10-year-olds call people by their first name without permission, really? I don't know. Do you guys, anybody here agree with that? Anybody? I call everybody by their first name. Now, if I went to the doctor's office, maybe I'll call him doctor or something, get my teeth fixed or something. If I'm talking to you on an internet radio show and your name's Judy, I can call you Judy if I want. It's not like I called her a nickname like Jude or Jay or something else. I called her Judy. I thought we were all on a
space
friendly level.
Or space beam lady.
Yeah, I thought we were all on a friendly level and all on the same level here. But because she has her PhDs, she knows so much more. Really? I'm not buying any of that PhD shit. This is something that is beyond what you learn in any book. This is a media fakery hoax trick on the whole world that you didn't learn from getting any PhD in material science like she has or whatever any of these other guys have with their explosives. Or this is totally different. Totally different. And I'm sick of her throwing that in my face. Like, honestly, I think I'm more intelligent than she is. Sorry. Sorry, Judy.
Well, you know, when Jim was on Santilli's show, he said that, you know, he has the right to people request him as professor, but, you know, he doesn't do that, and he said he's actually more qualified than what Judy would is, but he, you know, so she's like the only person that does that.
Oh yeah, and then I'm gonna play the other call. Well, the first time I called her, I should have played that one first. I meant to. This is the first time I called her. That's how that second time when they heard my name, they wanted to hang up right away. I asked her some very basic questions, some questions that everybody should ask her. And if you even ask people in that so-called The Real 9/11 Truth Movement group on Facebook, which is all just people up her ass, ask them some of these very, very, very simple and logical questions, and they'll just attack you until they kick you out of the group. I think this is a good call to play. That'll be the last call play, then we'll get back into the talking. Have a listen to this, guys, though. This is the first time I called Judy Wood on Late Night in the Midlands.
All right, well, let's try to get in another call. We've got Brian in Massachusetts. You're on Late Night in the Midlands. A lot of Brian's playing.
Hey, how you doing, Judy Wood? How you doing? It's an honor to talk to you.
Hi, Brian.
Thank you.
I just have a few questions for you. I've gone down a lot of the 9/11 rabbit trails, and there's just so many conspiracy theories to follow and stuff. And I actually, it was a phone call that I heard from Jesse Ventura actually talking very highly of your book, and I decided to look at some of your stuff.
I don't hear anything.
I have a few questions about some of the things that, you know, a lot of your work is.
I forgot to change that setting. Sorry, guys. Damn it. All right, here we go.
All right, well, let's try to get in another call. We've got Brian in Massachusetts. You're on Late Night in the Midlands. A lot of Brian.
Hey, how you doing, Judy Wood? How you doing? It's an honor to talk to you.
Hi, Brian.
Thank you.
I just have a few questions for you. I've gone down a lot of the 9/11 rabbit trails, and there's just so many conspiracy theories to follow and stuff. And I actually, it was a phone call that I heard from Jesse Ventura actually talking very highly of your book, and I decided to look at some of your stuff. I have a few questions about some of the things that, you know, a lot of your work is, you know, the all those cars that are, you know, blowing up outside the World Trade Center. A lot of those cars to me, I mean, you know, I don't see how an energy weapon does that. Those cars look like they came straight from the junkyard. Like, they don't have any license plates on them or anything like that. I mean, are we sure these are legit images that we're looking at? What if we're seeing with these cars blown up aren't really, you know, legit images? And you're basing this off of that.
I call them tow truck cars, not blown up cars. toast your car. It's toast. Your history. You can't fix it. You got to get another one. You know, you can't repair it. But it's toast. I'm not defining what exactly happened to it. Whether, you know, it's not a conventional fire. And it didn't explode. You know, lit up. But I've got, pictures of, the car before, during, and after it's been toasted. That one car, I didn't see the before picture until later on. I thought it was a white car. Uh-uh, it's a black car beforehand. The sea of unburned paper between these cars and the WTC complex. The paper didn't catch fire, but the car just kind of lit up in spontaneous combustion. The apparent spontaneous combustion.
Yeah. And we lost Brian. I just want to make Brian, let Brian know if you want to get that other question, then you can call back in. I'll put you back on. I don't know what happened there.
Connections seemed like it was dropping in and out, so it's the bandwidth problem or something.
Okay. So, basically, you know, people have said, you hear all different kinds of stories. The cars blew up and this and that, but they didn't actually blow up. I mean, the gas tanks were intact, correct?
Yeah, and that's another thing that makes it different from regular car fires. Car fires, you see a missing, lid for the gas tank, and, it looks like it's blown out. But see, the gas tank lid is still in place and pristine, on the back of the, like, the police cars, looks like it has a new wax job on it. There's plenty of people who have opinions. There's lots of opinions. But it doesn't come with discussing, a particular piece of evidence. There's also people who don't want the result, don't like the conclusion, and want to make up a new conclusion or something, and because they mostly maybe can't handle this. So they're trying to find every explanation they can think of, and my brother was that way for a while. He's trying to find every impossible explanation to the point of, suddenly eating pigeon poop on the cars a half mile away. They're really, really trying hard. Like, okay, how do you ignite it? Oh, maybe a guy came by with a cigar and.
Yeah. We got Brian back, so Brian, I'm going to bring you back on. Okay. Yeah.
I had a lot of issues.
Okay.
I had a few questions. Like, why if they use this high-tech, weaponry, this directed, why is it that would totally obliterate all the contents inside the building, except for, like, paper? Like, what is it about paper that makes it so it doesn't get destroyed? I know that might sound like an odd question, but, like what's the significance that it wouldn't destroy all that paper that we saw fire through?
Let's look at some differences you have with paper and other things. Paper is usually very conductive. Paper is usually flying around, and you can be contacting something much either.
But I mean, people stored in file cabinets inside the towers when they first got hit and got dustified or whatever?
But if a file cabinet kind of get, tossed about, the stuff's going to come out of it.
Huh.
I'm just looking at, possibilities. That paper seems to be kind of free-floating. And it could be conductive. Like, you can put a paper towel in, as long as it's dry, you put a paper towel in your microwave oven, it doesn't heat up.
Okay. Now, in your opinion, how many buildings exactly were dustified on that day, on 9/11? How many World Trade Center buildings were?
This is an opinion. This is, I go by evidence. And there were 7 buildings destroyed that day. And there was an 8th one that was infected, and they repaired it. And then they realized it still had a problem, so they ended up taking it apart, taking it back down. That was Banker's Trust. They repaired Banker's Trust, and then they decided to dismantle it.
So I think that, this weapon is so powerful that it could actually justify not only these two huge skyscrapers, and as we know, there were other World Trade Center complex buildings that, I mean, a lot of people don't even know about. A lot of people know about 1, 2, and 7, but, I mean, there was 4, 5, 6. I mean, there was a bunch of buildings that got destroyed by that day. Obviously, it wasn't two airplanes that took it out. I mean, obviously. I mean, that's just a preposterous tale. But do you think that, you know, that's why there's no remains? There's no remains because everything just got totally inside the building. Like, how strong is this weapon to be able to do that? I would think that there would need to be, you know, just multiple. I don't want to say lasers, because I know that's not the term you use. You use like directed energy. I would need, think there would need to be,
yeah,
like,
this,
you know, hundreds of these weapons.
This is not a line
of at once.
Yeah. This isn't a line of sight type of directed energy weapon. This isn't like lasers, lasers, and that type of thing. This is field interference of field effects. It's defined as to what, you know, area is going to be affecting. So it's very.
No, I know what you mean. It doesn't have to have a direct line like aiming at the tower. Even with, like, you know, it's intersecting energy fields or whatever it would do. Wouldn't it take the power of just, like, so many of these weapons to take those buildings down like that?
I'm looking at the evidence. I don't look at the conclusion to look backwards. I'm looking at the evidence to see what happened. The empirical evidence shows that the towers returned to dust. And, you know, there's a common argument that people would come up with saying, well, no weapon could be that powerful. So what? Do you think the towers are still there? Yeah, like there's this Greg Jenkins, gimmick. He had to make assumptions in order to calculate how much energy would be required. But the free energy device, hey, it gives energy. It doesn't take use energy. But you know, if you were saying it took five times the Earth's total output of energy. And, well, then, that means the towers are still there, then. Or, is he saying that the energy came from outer space, or what? But in order to calculate how much energy would be required, you're making assumptions. You're speculating on what the mechanism was. I'm not speculating. I am just stating empirical evidence. The towers turned to dust. We don't need to know how it happened in order to determine that it did happen.
Okay.
You follow?
Yeah, Brian, thank you for your call. I hope that helps, but we're getting low on time, and I want to try to get a couple more in. So we got Matthew in Wisconsin. You're on Late Night in the Middle.
All right, that's enough of that. So if there were still any Judy Woods followers in this group, I think you guys can kind of see how she's pretty dishonest. Anybody disagree with that? Talk about beating around the bush, huh? She doesn't want to answer any tough questions. I think my co-host...
She doesn't seem to distinguish between the what and the how. She tries to say that, oh, you're saying the towers are still there, which is something that a few people have tried to say that you're saying. But the what is the fact the towers turn to dust or whatever she says, it's the how that you need to establish. So the questions are valid.
Yeah, the questions I'm asking her are very valid and very simple. I mean, give me a better reason. I mean, some of the stuff was just sloppy. Like, she didn't want to tell me why, you know, what's so special about the pavement. You know what I mean? Like, she didn't have an answer for that. She didn't have an answer for why didn't the cars have license plates on them. She wasn't expecting that. And then for her to just say repeatedly that she just deals with empirical evidence and not speculation... I'm sorry, but what we're dealing with is a lot more of empirical evidence than speculation. She's the one that's speculating more than anything. She's talking about a weapon that she doesn't even know exists and has never even seen used. How can she say that? I wouldn't even say we're not speculating. We're still speculating to a degree, whatever. But if anybody's speculating, God damn it, she's speculating, you know?
Oh, without a doubt.
Justin, you with us?
Yeah, I'm there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. So we you can cross Judy Wood off the book of honest characters, guys. I think most people know that already. You should know that about Phil Jahan, Simon Shack, Alex Jones. Our last show we did a list of about 200 shills and named them all and pretty much why. So if you want to check the archives and go through that show, it'd be a good show to listen to once you start to understand this COINTELPRO a little bit and how they set up this fake truth movement. That would probably be the best next show to listen to after you, if you listen to this again or if you just, want to listen to that next. I would highly recommend that show. What else, guys? What else you want to get into tonight?
I don't know. I'm pretty much pooped tonight. I don't know.
What about you, James? Anything else, or are you good for the night?
I think we got through the menu there. All right.
Well, I guess we'll close it out then, and like I said earlier, I apologize to everybody for the little hiatus that we had. I know it was it's been almost 2 months since we've done the show. I don't know if we'll definitely be back next week, but we'll try. If not, I'm sure we'll be back by the week after. Technically, we got everything up and running again. So, as long as there's something to talk about, we'll come and do a show. Like we said, we don't like to do shows if there's not a lot of material, because then we're just wasting time and putting out bad shows. But make sure you go in our radio archives. Check out our last show that we did about all the shills and the truth movement. Make sure if you were in our Facebook group, you join the new one, which is simply called the same name, but with a .com at the end. So now it's therealnewsonline.com. I put it in the chat. I'll put it in the chat again on this website. And just keep the other group for, reference material in case you ever need to go back in there and grab something. But besides that, everybody have a good night, and we will talk to you soon.
Man, we gotta go get something to eat, man. I'm hungry in the motherfucker.
Hey, yo, man. Yo, what's taking you home so long, son?
Freaky, calm down. When you coming?
What the fuck?
Death upon me, blood in my eye, dog, and I can't see. I'm trying to be what I'm destined to be, and niggas trying to take my life away. I put a hole in a nigga for fucking with me. My back on the wall, now you gon' see. Better watch how you talk when you talk about me, cause I'll come and take your life away. Many men, many, 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 many men wish death on me, dawg. I don't cry no more. Don't look to the sky no more. Have mercy on me.
Pussy niggas put money on my head. Gone, get your refund, motherfucker. I ain't dead. I'm the diamond in the dirt that ain't been found. I'm the underground king, and I ain't been crowned. When I rhyme, something special happen every time. I'm the greatest. Something like Ali in his prime. I walk the block with the bundles. I've been knocked on the humble. Swing the ox when I rumble, show your ass with my gun. Gotta tip a nigga, go ahead, lose your head. Turn your back on me, get clapped and lose your legs. I walk around, gun on my waist, chip on my shoulder, top bust a clip in your face. Post to this beef ain't over.
Many men, many, 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 many men wish death upon me, Lord. I don't cry no more. Don't look to the sky no more. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on my soul. Somewhere my heart turned cold. Have mercy on many men. Many, 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 many men wish death upon me.
Sunny days wouldn't be special if it wasn't for rain. Joy wouldn't feel so good if it wasn't for pain. Death gotta be easy, cause life is hard. It'll leave you physically, mentally, and emotionally scarred. This is for my niggas on the block, twisting trees and cigars. For the niggas on lock, doing life behind bars. I don't see only God can judge me, cause I see things clear. Quick these crackers will give my black ass 100 years. I'm like Paulie and Goodfellas, you can call me the Don. Like Malcolm by any means, with my gun in my palm. Slim switch sides on me, let niggas ride on me. I thought we was cool, why you want me to die, homie?
Many men, many men.